Well, it's great to be back with you for the third message in Words to Live By out of the book of James. And now we are jumping into James chapter 2. I love the book of James because it's just so practical. It's how we deal with difficulty and trouble. It's how we view others. It's recognizing, if we look at the first part of chapter 2, that our value of other people should not be determined of where they are socially, financially, ethnically. It just shouldn't. Like, we should value people because they're all God's prized possessions. And in fact, we're just going to jump into verse 14 in chapter 2 because it goes so well with point 2 from last week about valuing other people. And so if you've not listened to last week's, go ahead and click on that and you can listen to that if you'd like. This week, I've titled the words to live by. The title of this message is More Than Faith. And so I have one point. It's a one point message. And so I don't know how long it's going to be, but I really want us to understand what it is that God's called us to. And it seems to me, even as I look at it, like, what do you mean more than faith? Aren't we to live by faith? For we walk by faith. 2 Corinthians 5, 7, we walk by faith and not by sight. That's very, very true. But here's my first kind of and really only point. Faith isn't enough. Faith is what you believe. I forgot to write the definition down in my notes, but I read it yesterday and getting ready again for this message. It's like, it's what we believe. It's like the core of what we believe. But listen to me clearly. Faith isn't enough. That's heresy. Okay, let's read. It's not heresy. What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say that you have faith but don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone? Suppose you see a brother or sister who has no food or clothing, and you say goodbye and have a good day and stay warm and eat well, but then you don't give that person any food or clothing. What good does that do? So you see, faith by itself isn't enough. Unless it produces good deeds, it's dead and useless. Wow. Faith isn't enough. Because you can believe, but you can believe partially. Do you have complete and utter faith in who God is, who Jesus is, that He is the Son of God, that He died on the cross, that He broke the curse of sin for you, that He loves you, and He calls you to follow in His footsteps and go to all of the world and tell them that the curse has been broken and to live a life that demonstrates not just the love of God, but the healing of God, the acceptance of God, the freedom that comes. It's more than just faith. It's more than just believing, because I don't want you to just have a partial faith. Well, like, it's a compartmentalized, it's a pigeonholed faith. Well, this is my faith life, and this is my work life, and this is my relationship life, and this is my hobby life. Like, these are the fun things that I do. Like, many people live like that. Like, okay, Sundays are my faith days. Mondays are the beginning of my work day. Every Saturday, it's a relationship day where I'm taking my wife or my whoever out to dinner, spending time with kids. Whatever, and then, you know, like, Sunday afternoons, that's my hobby day. But listen to me, none of those in and of themselves are bad, but perhaps how we think about what faith is in our life is huge, because it should be the foundation on which everything else lays, and that our life should be completely and utterly sold out to what God has created us for, to reach people, to build lives. It's why in Matthew 28:19, Jesus says, go and make disciples. That means people who love Him and follow Him with all of their heart, but we can never make that if we're not that. Which is why James says, what good is it if you say that you have faith, but you don't show it by your actions? Because that's where the rubber meets the road. It's what you do. That's actually what informs you of your faith. And so if what you do is in contradiction to what God has called us to, you have a faith crisis. I can believe that the Bible's true. You can believe that it's true here, but if that faith hasn't seeped down into a transformation of your heart that affects how you live and what you do with these hands and feet and eyes, and it's only partial faith. It's only a saying faith. Have you ever had somebody that just They build you up and they tell you you're the best and they think you're wonderful, but come to find out behind your back, they're trashing you. What is that? It's duplicitousness. It's duplicity and ultimately betrayal. And if we say, but we don't do, or we do partially, and then we do something else over here, that is duplicity. It is not purity. It is the opposite of purity. It is impurity mixed with purity. That's why God says in Revelation, He would rather you be hot or rather you be cold. But because you're mixing the two, it's just really disgusting. He'd rather take one or the other. I hope this makes sense to you guys, but I want us to get that, like, we can say that we have faith and we have a head knowledge of faith. It's just not enough faith to transform our heart because we've compartmentalized it over here. What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith, but you don't show it by your actions? So what do you say? We're going to look next week about the tongue and about what James says about blessings and cursings coming out of the same tongue, out of that same mouth. What do you say? Do you say that you have faith? Because this is your box over here for faith and Sundays, going to church, serving. Like, this is my faith box. And then do you have your, like, guys, do you have your fellas box where you're, like, going to cut loose and say whatever it is you want to say, some stuff that you'd never say over here, but you're going to say it over here. What kind of faith is that? What is that? Like, yes, I say all the right things here, but over here, I'm going to say something totally different. That's an immature believer. It's an immature believer. Man, I'm not trying to bust chops. I realize that's kind of what it is. But it's the reality. It's the thing that we all hate about religion. It's the televangelist from the 80s that's dressed in the suit and he's got the Bible and he's got the fancy set. And then instead of giving people hope and life and the truth that they've been forgiven, he's asking them to put their hand on the TV screen and sow $1,000 seed of faith. It's disgusting. It's gross. I don't know how people actually ever even watch that. They're so desperate for hope that they're willing to watch something that perverted and then sacrifice just for something they think might be real when in fact they're watching a fake. Faith over here, but not over here. Same thing. So I'm going to ask you this. What do you say? Oh, yeah. What do you say? You say you have faith, don't show it by your actions. Can that kind of faith save anyone? No, it can't. And no, it hasn't. Which is why so many churchgoers bemoan the fact that the church should do more. The church is simply the conglomeration of all the people in it. And if we have people that are compartmentalizing their faith to one day a week or one act or one action, but not living it out through everything, that's not transformative. That's the televangelist guy. It looks good on the outside because they're saying a lot of the right things, but then their heart betrays them and they say what's really going on over here, though, normally. I hope this makes sense. Can that kind of faith save anyone? Nah. And then he gives an example. James gives an example of what that practically looks like. Like a low level of faith where you say that you have it. And maybe you're going to church. Maybe you're reading your Bible. And you say that you have a level of faith. Like, hey, yes, I have faith. Then he gives an example of what that looks like when you really just have that compartmentalized faith. But it's not enough to like have seeped down into your heart to bring true transformation to you. Because I want you to get this. When transformation happens inside of you, it affects everybody around you. That's why when a husband gives his life to the Lord and it's been rocked, everybody in the family, they give their life to the Lord too ultimately because they see the transformation. Because God transformation always affects other people. That's why the woman who had been sick for 12 years, perpetual bleeding, and she couldn't stop it. All she had to do was touch the hem. She had to just get close enough to Jesus to touch the hem of his, like just like a tassel on his garment, on his shirt that he was wearing, just touched the tassel, and she knew that she'd be healed, and she was. And Jesus said, whoa, what happened? Because of the transformation that happens when we have a life that is lived like Jesus. It affects everyone. And he's given, James is saying, like, if you got faith, but it's not enough to, like, really translate into action, this is what it's like. Suppose you see a brother or sister who has no food, no clothing. They're hungry. They're half naked. And you say, saying, what do you say? This is the right thing. This is a good thing. This is a proper thing. Goodbye and have a good day. Stay warm and eat well. What? They don't have any food and they're naked. Good seeing you. Great to see you. Biggest lie ever, right? Oh, man, how are you doing? It's so good to see you. I can't stand that. Because we don't value people like Jesus valued them. You say goodbye, have a good day, stay warm, and eat well. But then look at this. You don't give that person any food or clothing. I got a question for you. What do you give? Easiest way to understand what we value is by looking at our checkbook. Go online, look at where you're spending money with your debit card. We value electricity and gasoline a lot. We forget about that. I value electricity and gasoline and water and trash service. Like every month that happens. I value like vehicles, homes. Like we value these things. How do you know? Because we give a mortgage company a lot of money. We give Entergy way too much money. What you value can be seen in what you give. What do you give God? What do you give other people? This is why it's very specific. You don't give. So you say the right thing, but you don't do the right thing. It's more than just the word. I have faith and I believe here. It's got to translate here. You don't give that person any food or clothing. What good does that do? If you say the right thing, Jesus loves you. I'm praying for you. Another big lie. I'm praying for you. Like, I just know that I'm here for anything you need. Another lie. Like, just don't hesitate to call. Like, you mean it on some level. Come on, we've all done this. But do you give? What do you say? What do you give? So you see, and then he says, what good does that do? None. You see that faith by itself isn't enough. He shows us through the lens of our own failure, how we say the right thing but often fall short in doing it, that we need more than faith. It's not enough. Unless it produces good deeds. That I circled in my Bible, the it. See, that's a pronoun. That means it's taking the place of something. What is, unless it produces good deeds, unless what produces good deeds? Faith. Faith. Unless faith produces good deeds, it is dead and useless. What are the good deeds that are blossoming? What is the fruit of my life that is blossoming? Are the good deeds blossoming in my life? That's coming from faith. My faith must grow. I need to grow in faith. I remember a pastor that was for decades in Lake Charles. He's a very old man now. And he said this, and I kind of had to chew on it for quite a long time, like a long, long time. But it's so true. He said, every problem that we have is a faith problem. I'm like, lost my job. Gotcha. It's faith. And my marriage. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there too. When your faith has grown enough to produce life, but not your life, the life of Jesus, because your faith is in Him, not you. What grows? Galatians 5:22. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, meekness, self-control. Good things grow, and you become like Jesus. Faith isn't enough. It's got to translate into action, which means we need more faith. Seems kind of nonsensical, doesn't it? Yeah, your faith isn't enough, so you need more of it. But it needs to be in the right thing, and that Jesus is the one who brings transformation so that he uses you because you're trusting him and living like him. He'll use you to bring transformation everywhere. It's more than faith. It's Jesus living through us. Faith isn't enough. What do I say? What do I do? How do I live? If I live, in Galatians 2:20, Paul said, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives through me. When my life is so in the hands of God that Jesus is able to live through me, that's when I have a living faith. I pray that your faith is alive. That little Sunday faith up over here, that little I might do something good for somebody, I might tip God, I might, it's not enough to bring transformation. And we all need it. So Father, I just pray that we can grow in faith. I pray that we can trust you. That Lord, we just don't say the right things. Oh, I'm praying for you. Oh, praise God, that's so great. That Father, that we live out your word. Maybe you're here, you've been living your own way. And God's knocking on the door of your heart today, and he's calling you to live for him. How do you do that? You lay down your life. Just like Jesus on the cross laid down his life for you, you lay down yours for him. You just say, you can pray just this, to pray with me. Say, Jesus, I lay down my life. I turn from my way. I turn from my sins and my successes. I turn everything over to you. I receive your forgiveness. I am yours, Jesus. Amen. Listen, if you prayed that, let us know. Let me know. I want to connect you to resources and relationships that can help you grow, that you can know who God is, that you can grow in faith, that spiritually you continue to grow and there's more love and joy and peace in your life because you're closer every day to him. Anyway, it's great being with you. Look forward to seeing y'all next week. God bless. Bye.